Ephesians 1, we left off last week. There in verse 8, that thought of abounding, how the Lord abounded to us. And back in John 10, he talks about his sheep having life and having it more abundantly. And we pointed out that the abundance that God has in mind for us is not about things. It's not even about you and I. If you look at verse 6, verse 12, and 14, it's all about the praise of the glory of His grace. This is all that God has done is intended to redound to His glory and His praise. The abundance, if you think about it, really is Christ in us. And our pastor spoke about it this morning, the fact that when believers are born again, they're born again as babes, but we want to see them grow up. And they grow up by imbibing the proper foods, proper nutrition. And as they do that, they grow up. And God's inheritance in us is to have Christ grown up into us fully. So that is the abundance that's being referred to there. If somebody would go to Luke 12, someone else to John 17, and someone to Ephesians 4. And we have another statement by the Lord to his audience in Luke 12, where it was there, verse 15.
And he said unto them, take heed, and be aware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses.
Okay. And the word abundance there is actually a superabundance. So the abundance of things that we may accumulate, and again, this isn't simply limited to material possessions. I've always been amused by that bumper sticker that I saw years ago, and I make fun of it with Vince DeWitt once in a while. Bumper sticker said, he who dies with the most toys wins. You know, and that's a very worldly, that's the way the natural man thinks. Nothing could be further from the truth than the spiritual. But it's not about simply material possessions. Many people who may not necessarily be so concerned with collecting material possessions may be very proud and in and determined to get under their belt, maybe to travel to as many countries in the world as they can. It may be about experiences. There's people that live for experiences. You have these people that engage in these extreme sports. I don't know how many of you noticed, but here about 4 or 5 weeks ago, a young man climbed the, I forget the name of the specific route on Yosemite, 3,000 feet, no ropes, no partner, and he did it in 4 hours. That's 800 feet an hour that he's climbing, and basically he climbs by inserting his hands in the cracks and finding little tiny toe holds and hand holds, and so he's all the rave in the world of climbing right now, and there's people that go after things like that. So it's not just, there's people that never get tired of earning a degree in something. They want to have knowledge. Their life is about assimilating knowledge, being the best that they can intellectually in maybe a certain field. So the abundance of possessions can be several different things, but it goes back to the fact that it's not about you or I.
That's right.
Regardless of what we consider possessions, it's about Christ in us. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we have that statement there in Luke. Life does not consist in the abundance of things that we have, the things of this world. But he went on to define exactly what he meant by life. Whoever's in John 17, read verse 3.
And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Ah, so life is knowing him. Mm-hmm. But this is not just intellectual knowledge.
Right.
The knowing spoken about in that verse is number 1097. It's that Greek word gnosko. Okay? And that is a knowledge based on not just experience, but time spent with somebody. Mm-hmm. Okay? I don't know if you're aware, there's probably more very authoritative texts and studies on the life of Abraham Lincoln than there are people in this room. You can become an outstanding expert about Lincoln. You can understand maybe kind of how he thought if you read enough of his writings and things like that. But in this life, you will never know the man like his wife did. Okay? Maybe someday in eternity, we'll get to visit with him. But you see, you can know about something to an ad nauseum degree. But that doesn't mean you know it. And particularly in the sense of people. You can know a lot about people. There's been, again, volumes written about a lot of people. But that doesn't mean you know them because you haven't dwelt with them. And take it a step further in the case of the Lord. It's one thing to dwell with somebody. Okay? I dwell with my wife. I have for almost 40 years. I think I know her pretty good. But guess what? Jesus dwells in us. That's an even a step further. Okay? David said, "You know me better than I know myself." Now, I've dwelt with myself for over 61 years, Joe. You'd think I know myself pretty good, but there again, Jesus dwells in me. He knows me even better than I know myself. And that's what this gnosko is, okay? The life is knowing Jesus, is allowing, again, allowing him to grow up in us, okay? Whoever's in Ephesians 4, verse 15.
But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Okay. Grow up into him in all things. Now, that all things can be his knowledge of many, many things, which can be very wonderful. But what do you suppose, if God is love, first of all, what do you suppose is most important in growing up into him?
Love.
That's love.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's the important part. And finally, I'll leave you with this thought. Since he is the prince, the author, and the source of life, both natural and spiritual, we should probably give heed to what he has to say about life.
Yeah.
Okay? He kind of knows something about it. So it's worth our time to pay attention. Okay, moving on. In verse 9, he says, he abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, and he did that by making known unto us the mystery of his will. Notice that God's purpose for and his effort in revealing this mystery was, again, because of his good pleasure. All right? He did it as part of his own plan and pleasure. You find that in verse 9 here, and again in verse 11. It's after his own will. So he did it, firstly, for his own benefit and satisfaction, and then for us to be blessed and enriched in him. And that was an added benefit, because again, we are his inheritance. So to whatever degree he can convince, entice, persuade us to let him grow up in us, he's enriched. Okay? I hope he doesn't have to twist our arm. Oh, dear. Okay, and notice in that regard, if somebody will go to 2 Corinthians 9, notice verse 3. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. That's the provision. And his efforts during our brief span of time are towards making all of that provision real or practical in us. Okay? Verbs in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Okay, there again. All sufficiency in all things leaves out exactly how much?
None.
So, we're able to abound to every good work. In other words, we're able to grow up into him in all things. He's not holding some goal or mark out there that we can't reach. Okay? He can reach it in us if we will let him, if we will yield to it. Now, we're going to get into a series of scriptures here, a few references to read. So if somebody will go to Matthew 11, some of the Mark 10, some of the Luke 10, someone to John 1, and someone to Acts 14, we'll start with those few. Now, the grand result of God fulfilling all of his plans, that is, his will be to bring every last entity of heaven and earth, in other words, all creation, into a unity and oneness under one head, that is, of his Son. Let's look at some verses that bring this out. Whoever's in Matthew 11, verse 27.
All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him.
Ah, now isn't that interesting? No man knows the Father like I do, except every man that the Father chooses to reveal me, reveal him to in me. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. We aren't excluded. We can be part and parcel of Jesus' relationship with his Father. Okay? And it amuses me. You frequently hear people refer to the Lamb's wife as God's daughter-in-law. I don't remember any law being incorporated in that relationship. I think daughter in grace would be a much more realistic terminology, don't you? No. Okay. Matthew 10, whoever's there, verse 27.
Mark, you mean this? You mean Mark.
Mark, what did it say? Mark.
And 10. Jesus, looking up, then saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible.
Ah, okay. So there again, what a comfort to know that when we read of some of these provisions here in the book of Ephesians, and you just think, you know, in yourself, there's no way, Lord, with God all things are possible. Okay, it's not us, it's him in us. Luke 10, whoever's there, verse 22.
All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him.
Okay. Then in chapter 18, James, verse 31.
Then he took unto him the 12. And said unto them, Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished.
Okay, all things. 21, in chapter 21, verse 22.
For these be the days, 21, 22. Mm-hmm. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled.
Okay. Now, again, as an aside, you want to know what all those all things are?
Yes.
God said it all. Okay. Now, in the ages to come, he's going to reveal the glory and the riches of everything that he purposed. But it's all in here.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Anybody who thinks we're going to be bored in forever is just... has no clue. John 1, whoever's there, verse 3.
things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
That's a mind blower. That's one of those things that I can't dwell on for more than a few seconds, because I'm afraid I would be out there somewhere and never able to come back. Chapter 3, Job, verse 35.
The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand.
Chapter 13, verse 3.
Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God.
Okay. Chapter 16, verse 5.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, and the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
No, that's 15.
That's what?
That was 15.
15. Okay, 16. 5.
Oh, 16. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
16:5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asking me, whither goest thou?
That's 16:5?
Yeah. Yes, 16.
Okay, Joe.
15,
another typo you didn't cut. What's that?
I think you wanted 16:15.
Is it 16:15? Okay, what's that?
All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he should take of mine and should show it unto you.
Oh, man. Tell you what, between Joe and Michelle, look out. All right, and then chapter 17, verse 7.
Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee.
Chapter 19, verse 28.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst.
All things were accomplished.
Amen.
Now, we could stop there and think, well, wait a minute. There's a lot that hasn't been finished. But, remember, you and I are prisoners of time. God isn't.
Amen.
Okay? So when he says all things are accomplished, they're accomplished. Just because you and I's train hasn't arrived at the station yet doesn't mean that the station isn't there. Okay? All right. So we've got somebody in Acts 14. Let's have somebody go to Romans 11. Someone to 1 Corinthians 8. Someone to Ephesians 1 here. Someone to Philippians 3. And whoever's in Acts 14, verse 15.
And saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God,
Amen.
Which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein.
Amen. Then in chapter 17, Ty, verses 24 and 25.
God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things.
Amen.
Okay. Romans 11, whoever's there, verse 36.
For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, read that again.
For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom glory forever. Amen.
Of him, through him, and to him are all things.
Right.
Do you start to get it? That Jesus is the head, the source of everything. Okay? 1 Corinthians 8, whoever's there, verse 6.
But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him.
Okay, then in chapter 15, Chrisette, verse 28.
And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
All in all. Don't ponder that phrase too deeply. That's another one of those tricky ones. Let's have somebody go to Colossians 1, someone to Hebrews 1, and someone to Revelation 4. And whoever's here in Ephesians 1, verse 22.
And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church.
Okay. And chapter 3, verse 10, Zena.
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
Okay. And chapter 4, verse 9.
Now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?
Sounds like another typo.
I think it's another typo.
We'll work on that one. we'll circle that one unless Michelle can figure that one out. Okay, Philippians 3, whoever's there, verse 21.
Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Amen.
Okay. Able to subdue all things unto himself. Colossians 1, whoever's there, verses 16 and 17.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Amen.
Okay. Pretty comprehensive statement.
Yeah.
Okay. One worth underlining and noting, especially in our train of thought here. Verse 20 then, Ty.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Okay. Hebrews 1, whoever's there, verses 2 and 3.
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Okay. Not just created all things, but upholding all things with the word of his power.
Thank you.
Okay. Chapter 2, James, verses 8 through 10.
Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering.
Okay. So again, all things put under him, but then Paul turns around and says, but we don't see all things put under him yet. Wait a minute, Paul. You're confusing me. Okay. But again, we are creatures of time. Everything is under Jesus. Just because we still have sin, sickness, misery, suffering, war, fighting, doesn't mean that all things aren't under it. The train hasn't gotten to the station yet. Okay, we're on the train. The station's out there. Trust me. Okay? Revelation 4, whoever's there, verse 11.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Amen.
Okay. And then in chapter 21, verse 5.
And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
Wow. Make all things new. Yeah. What's that going to be like? And then verse 7, Chrissa.
He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Wow. You ready to inherit all things? Well, if you happen to be among those privileged to be wed to the Lamb, you will. Because he is all things. All right. Okay, let's have somebody go to back to 1 Corinthians 8, someone to 2 Corinthians 1, someone to back to Philippians 3, someone back to Colossians 1. And we find here in verse 10, he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, Amen. Both which are in heaven Amen. And which are on earth, even in him. Amen. So the Holy Ghost brings it full circle. Here in verse 10, all that we are, all that we have, all that we will have, and all that we will be are in him. All right? There's nothing left out. Because of him and for his glory. Notice verse 4 in Ephesians 1 here. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Okay? For his glory. 1 Corinthians 8, whoever's there, verse 6.
But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him.
Okay? 2 Corinthians 1, whoever's there, verse 20.
For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us.
Okay, and then in chapter 5, James, verse 21.
For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Okay, Philippians 3, whoever's there, verse 9.
And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
Okay. Colossians 1, whoever's there, verse 19.
For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Oh my. And then in chapter 2, Job, verses 9 and 10.
Amen. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Whoa. Read that again. You are what?
Complete.
Complete in him. Now, I don't feel so complete in him, especially trying to go upstairs when my knees bother me. Okay? But again, the train hasn't gotten to the station yet. Okay? We're on the track. We just aren't there yet. Okay. Now, that phrase in verse 10, and Hagen, go back to 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. I think you read there last. And whoever was in Romans 11, and whoever was in Colossians 1, if you'll go back there. This phrase, the dispensation of the fullness of times, or, if we might say it this way, the economy of the fullness of times. Now, remember, this word dispensation is where we get our word economy. And if you think about it, economies change, okay? You read about it all the time. People blast the Reagan economy. They blast the Carter economy. They blast the Trump economy, whatever. They're talking about administrations, how things are done differently at different times. People have different views about how things ought to be done, okay? That's the thought of this word dispensation. It's a change in what's emphasized, okay? Some economies emphasize social services to the masses, okay? Other economies emphasize defense. Defense must be first, okay? Other economies emphasize international relations. We have to be on good terms with our neighbors, first of all, Okay? Things are done differently, slightly. Now, under all these economies, of course, at least in the minds of the people designing them and running them, is the good of the people. Okay? So that doesn't change. But the way it's done, the features change. And that's the thought here of dispensations and economies. So Paul says in verse 10, in the economy of the fullness of times, which refers to the eternal age that follows the millennial kingdom. We've been going through this in Revelation, okay? Our pastor has brought out that there will be things that are so different. No more sin. What's it going to be like with no sinners around? No sin. No ability to be tempted by sin. I mean, that is so different from our present existence. But the train hasn't got to the station yet. All right?
Not even the remembrance of sin.
Exactly. Won't that be something to be sitting there? Somebody pipes up and says, remember when back when we were sinners?
No.
And you're going, what? What? You can't say what on earth. What on heaven are you talking about? Okay? It'd be a wonderful time, I'll give you that. Okay. Notice in chapter 4 here in Ephesians. Nope, that's not right. What was I referring to? Okay, Michelle, time to read my mind.
I figured out your last one.
Oh, okay, what was it?
It was Ephesians 3:10, not 3:9.
Okay, I got 3:10, I got 4:9 down here, and I don't know where 4:9 came from. We did read 3:10, I hope. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 15, Hagen, verses 24 through 28.
Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he has accepted which did put all things under him. How far?
Through 28.
Okay. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all and in all.
Amen. Okay, so you see the Father created everything via the Son. Everything has been put under the Son. And one day when the Son has accomplished the subduing of everything, it's all going to be handed back to the Father. Okay, that God may be all in all. All right, so all things are purposed for Jesus. And we saw this, whoever's in Romans 11, verse 36 again. Somebody have it?
For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
And I say amen to that.
Amen.
Colossians 1, whoever's there, verse 16.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
Okay. Let's have somebody go to Proverbs 8, someone back to John 17. So all things are purposed for Jesus, and that includes his wife, who will be his glory as well as his prized possession. Jesus has always been and will always be the centerpiece of his Father's plan. And if she is one with him, okay, I'll let you figure that one out. Proverbs 8, whoever's there, verses 22 through 31.
The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Mm-hmm. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men.
Okay. Now see, Jesus has been in on this from the beginning. He's been watching all this happen and participating in it as well. You can't be surprised at the fact that he's excited about all this because it's all for him. It's being done for him.
Amen.
Okay? And has been for a long, 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 long time. Okay? John 17, whoever's there, verse 5.
And now, O Father, glorify thy me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Okay? And in chapter 14, James, verse 13.
And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Okay? Notice here in verse 10, the phrase might gather together in one, there in verse 10 of Ephesians 1, that's all one word in the Greek. It's number 346. And boy, you talk about a supercalifragilistic. Okay, attempt number one. And ak ef al ahi o mi ahi. I wonder the Greek civilization didn't last. Sheesh. Okay, anyway, it's a compound word. It's formed of two other Greek words. The first one is number 303, the Greek word ana, which is equivalent to the English prefix re, implying repetition, increase, or intensity. The second word is number 2775, and I'm not going to try that one. It means the head of or to head up. So literally, this phrase is that he might be forever the forever exalted head of all things. Okay? Colossians 1, whoever can go there, verse 18. And somebody go back to Genesis 2.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
In all things he's going to be first. All right, the one known. Now, of course, as we said, this implies a repetition, that he might be the forever exalted head of all things. The wonderful difference this time, if you want to think of it this way, is that the man will not be or will no longer be alone, but his wife will be with him. Okay? He will be the head along with his wife. And in chapter 5, verse 31, it says here in Ephesians, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And in Genesis 2, whoever's there, I think we have something similar in verse 24.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Okay, good. If somebody will go to 2 Timothy 1, someone to Isaiah 46, and someone to 1 Peter 1. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Our place and glorification with Jesus is due to him.
Amen.
We were called and qualified in Christ by our Father upon the basis of his selection of us as part of his eternal purpose.
Amen.
This verse is the third time after verse 5 and verse 9 that Paul has referenced our Father's having purposed all of this of and in himself.
Amen.
All right? Where it was in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9.
Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Amen.
Okay. Human design, human ingenuity, and even human need was absent. Didn't exist when this was done. And on top of that, all of this was planned and purposed and designed before the visible universe was created. No galaxies, no earth, no humans, no sin, etc., etc., etc. You can go back to verse 4 here in Ephesians 1, before the foundation of the world. Isaiah 46, whoever's there, verse 10.
For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. 46:10.
46:10.
Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
Okay? And again, before you and I even had a need of the Lord or his salvation, all this was planned out. Our pastor spoke this morning about the peace of grace. I don't know about you, but that gives me a peace to know that all of this was planned out before anything existed. So wonderful. 1 Peter 1, whoever's there, verse 20.
Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
Okay. Manifest in these last times. You know we're living in the last times?
Oh, boy.
I like it. Okay. Here in verse 11, the word obtained is number 2820. In the Greek, the Strong's Greek, it means to allot or assign, to determine by lot, to choose someone. Okay, we've obtained an inheritance. But strangely enough, it was assigned to us. One translator says it like this, in whom the lot has fallen upon us also, as foreordained thereto, to be predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, we've gone over this before, but the key to the hot topic of predestination is the phrase, in whom, referring to Jesus. God determined that everyone, that is all who would believe in Christ, would be saved, leaving the choice up to the individual man or woman, but also knowing ahead of time, that's called foreknowledge, who would and wouldn't accept him and have faith in his son. It's not complicated. It's very simple. If there is some event going on in the city, and they announce on the radio and the media and the TV that anybody who wants a ticket can have it, they're free, come down and get them, who do you suppose is going to be at the event?
Everybody.
Only those people that had the ticket, that bothered to get the ticket. It's not rocket science, okay? The Lord, the Father, chose everyone in Christ. That was the, I hate to use the word qualifier, but that was the qualifier. Everyone who is in my son will be saved.
Right.
And this is what defeats those who try to tell you that people were predestined to be saved or damned.
No,
they make a choice.
Right.
They choose either to come within the qualifier or stay out of it. Okay, Michael.
Do you think Ephesians chapter 1 and the details of foreknowledge?
Is a detail?
The details of foreknowledge.
Well, it's a lot of it. Yeah, it's not the only place Paul talks about it, but right. There's a lot of juicy stuff here. Kind of like that ribeye that Pastor talked about. Okay? I'm a tenderloin guy myself. Somebody go to Psalm 65, and I think we'll close with this tonight. And whoever gets there, read verse 4 for us.
Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts, and shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple.
Okay. Now here again, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Mm-hmm. Well, God's playing favorites. Mm-hmm. He's choosing one person over another.
No.
Isn't he? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No. Whoever wants to approach to him, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. There's people that don't have an appetite for his house. There's people that want it.
Yeah, right.
And guess what? Anybody who wants it gets chosen. It's real simple. All right?